Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Second to None podcast, the show on the Believe Podcast Network and the 365 Sports YouTube channel that covers all things SEC football. I am Blaine Gilmer here with my co-host, Tavares King, and it is a What's the Spread Wednesday, TK, week three. We're getting some SEC openers out of the way here for some teams. Kentucky and Missouri officially opened things up last week, but man, the conference play is here.
Yeah, it's go time for real now. Only counting when it's, you know, when we start playing, we as in Georgia. So it's go time for us, baby. So this SEC play, I'm ready to roll, man. It's an exciting time.
Absolutely. And there's going to be still a few non-conference games, still some cupcakes out there, as we like to call them. You've got that we won't really touch on, and we won't have the spreads rolling at the bottom of the screen. So if you're watching on the 365 Sports YouTube channel, you can see the spreads will be rolling across. What's the Spread Wednesday is not us making our formal picks for the game, but just us telling you why Vegas and the odds makers are setting these lines where they are and maybe what's going into some of the thinking. But some teams that we won't be covering: Kentucky, who is, you know, just straight rolling right now. They can beat you through the air like they did in week one with Will Levis, or on the ground week two, 200 yards by Chris Rodriguez. They get Chattanooga this week, so not too much of a challenge there. In Lexington, Missouri gets Southeast Missouri State, who's 0-2 on the year. Ooh, going to be a beat down in Columbia, Missouri. Tennessee gets a bounce back game versus Tennessee Tech, who's also 0-2 on the year. A&M couldn't come at a better time for them to get a team like New Mexico rolling in there. New Mexico has lost, or has won their opening two games, but not against anywhere near the caliber of competition that they'll see in College Station. Zach Calzada gets his first start over there, Texas A&M, this year after he came in for the injured Haynes King, who unfortunately did. News came down on late on Monday, TK, that he did fracture his ankle and is going to be out till at least mid-October. So we'll see what happens there. And then the last one that we're going to kind of breeze through is Arkansas. Sam Pittman and Pig Suey coming off the big win. Do they have a letdown trap game here against Georgia Southern? TK, I mean, you know some of them guys that have played at Georgia Southern. You know what it's about, that program down there. It's a proud program, but Arkansas, a 23.5-point favorite in this one.
Yes. That's a Georgia Southern is a super, super proud program, man. They got a lot of tradition down there. My brother, Kevin Ellison, was a quarterback. Took Georgia Southern down to the swamp and got a victory. So, man, it's very doable, man. That team is capable. You know, they're well coached. They got a nice system that they run down there, but it's very doable for them to do it. But in my own opinion, I don't think it gets done. Arkansas is just talented. They're coming off probably their biggest win in a long time at that school. They're going to be jacked. They probably won't rush the field and get that 100K flying this weekend, but they'll be jacked and ready to go, because it'll be another opportunity for them to get a W in front of their fans.
No doubt, and we think that they obviously will handle business, but, you know, this is just the next step, okay? So you've got a big win. How do you handle success, right? How do you – it's one thing to handle adversity. They've handled some adversity there at Arkansas quite well and have built this program back to a respectable and even a contender, you know, level. But once that target's on your back, TK, it gets a little bit different. But all of these spreads here are brought to you by Bet Online that we'll be talking about today, guys. Bet Online sponsors the show here, and it's that time of year again. Football's back in full swing. We're getting an SEC coverage right here, guys. SEC matchups, and as always, Bet Online is your number one spot for all your pro and college football action this year. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest, the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, open now at Bet Online. Head on over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 100% welcome bonus. And BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to place your favorite sports bets. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, as always, we're appreciative of BetOnline for sponsoring the show. And speaking of spreads, guys, there's a 16.5 point spread for Alabama going to the Swamp. TK, my question is, how is it only 16.5 points?
No, I'm right there with you, man. Florida's, we talked about it a little earlier, Anthony Richardson is a baller. Nobody knows how that hammy is that he tweaked. Emory Jones has been making a lot of mistakes, four picks through two games against not Alabama. so I think it.
Not
I think,
Alabama. Not Alabama. Yeah, that's exactly. Not as eloquently and nice as you could say that. Not Alabama.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I think it could get bad down there. It could get bad down there in the Swamp.
Well, even though I think everybody knows what our pick on that game is going to be, we don't make our official picks here until we get to our Lock-In Friday show. So let's just kind of talk about why 16.5 points. First, in any SEC matchup, when you're favored by more than two touchdowns, that's Vegas seeing you as a significant talent gap, having the upper hand in that matchup. I think that that Vegas probably saw USF last week, who got drubbed. I mean, just skull dragged, TK, in week one by NC State, who goes on to lose to Mississippi State. USF was going down the field at will against Florida. Honestly, got into the red zone multiple times. They end up just making self-inflicted wounds there that hurt them. But I'm talking about 5, 6, 7 first downs on a couple drives there in that first half, and I think that defense there for Florida has a lot to answer, and the inconsistency at the quarterback position now, the inconsistency in terms of the health standpoint on Anthony Richardson. Did read over on, I'm also a writer for UGASports.com, the Rivals site that covers Georgia football. I read on the our sister site, the Florida Rivals site, that Anthony Richardson's hamstring may only be a grade 1 strain. So the lowest type of strain that you could have. So they're going to try to rest him this week, and maybe he'll be ready to go. But TK, I mean, Anthony Richardson has been responsible for a lot of their offense already this year. And if he is hampered in any way, does this spread kind of indicate that Vegas's lack of confidence in Emory Jones?
Well, I think it definitely does. It's definitely an indicator of the lack of confidence in Emory. But to your point, if that hammy's a grade 1, it's still going to bother him. They, for what they do, and for what he does, for who he is as an athlete, I don't know if he'll be able to rattle off those yards and make those big plays like he did. Not against an Alabama.
Yeah, and any kind of success that Emory Jones has had this year seems to have come off of a little bit of play action, some RPO stuff, and also the speed option game. And a Nick Saban coach defense is going to be finely tuned for that RPO game, because guess what? They see it every day. Alabama runs the RPO game as good as anybody, and they see it every day in practice. I think Najee Harris is the one who said it last year when they were interviewing him at the draft. He said practices at Alabama were harder than most games. So, you know, when you're going up against that kind of competition. So that's kind of our take on why the spread is 16.5. TK, if you were an odd setter setting that line, where would you set that line for Alabama, Florida, given that it is at the Swamp?
I mean, it's at the Swamp, but man, I think Coach Saban, I talk about it all the time, a Coach Saban coach defense is, like you said, ready for everything. They see the best week in and week out, Monday through Thursday. So they're prepared. So I think that spread's a little off. We could probably bump it up to about 22.
Yeah, 20, more of a 3-touchdown type game. I'm definitely thinking that's going to be kind of the key there. And it started off at 15.5, and money's already poured in on Alabama. It's going up to so it's climbing. Vegas trying to keep some of those sharp bettors out of there. It's gone up to 16.5 on them. So that's kind of the marquee matchup there in terms of, you know, being the 3:30 CBS game. I think CBS just picked two brands there. They weren't really looking into that one, TK, because I think, you know, that's going to be kind of a little bit of a beat down there. You know, also we have, in terms of maybe some of the better games, sneaky good games, you've got one that I think is the prime time game that is really going to be the best game of the week. Auburn at Penn State. You've got an Auburn team that has scored 60 and 62 points in their first two games, but they've done it against the Little Sisters of the Poor. And, you know, Akron and Alabama State is just not in that caliber with the athletes that Auburn has on that field. Tank Bigsby, Bo Nix. But now Bo Nix gets to look across that field and see a Power Five defense that is just as talented, at least in the you know, first string, you know, depth wise. We'll see who ends up. That'll be a big factor this game. But Auburn is a 6-point road underdog going to Happy Valley. TK.
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. They get 3 points for being at home, so it's kind of an even game.
Have a field goal game, really.
Yeah, a field goal game is Vegas sees it as, but man, it'll be intense. It'll be pumped. It'll be jacked. It's a whiteout. It'll be awesome. We talked about
7:30.
Yeah, 7:30. It'll be pumped in there, man. But you know, I think that Coach Bobo's offense looks like they are rolling. I think Bo Nix is grasping that offense. I think he's coming into his own, finding weapons. Like a Demetrius Robinson, who had 3 touchdowns last week. He looked awesome. And I think Coach Bobo's finding ways to get his playmakers the ball, using Tank out of the backfield, as well as I think he handed D-Rob the ball as well on the end around that he scored on. So, I mean, Coach Bobo has weapons. And when you give Coach offensive coordinator like Coach Bobo weapons, you're going to get an explosive offense. And I think that offense is – very explosive. You know, watching their tape, I see a lot of plays being made on special teams as well. So I know that they're harping on that as well down there. So look for this game to have some big plays in it in special teams as well.
But TK, let's say this, you know, as well as I do, when you go from playing these, you know, lowly the Alabama States and the Akrons at home on the plains, very favorable conditions to go into Happy Valley where, and Bo Nix, honestly, last year, I know he's experienced and he's been in some high, you know, pressure games, but there's some young players on that Auburn team. This is going to be the first time that they've faced a hostile crowd like that. You know, guys who are either freshmen or sophomores having to play for, because of the COVID situation last year, they may have played against 25% capacity, but full scale, all out, wide out there, 7:30 primetime, ABC, under the lights. Will that Mike Bobo coached offense continue to click? Because you know as well as I do, when you see different looks that a James Franklin is able to throw out because of his talent that he has on the other side, maybe some unorthodox things that an Alabama State or an Akron, they pretty much have to line up and play their scheme and hope for the best, right? Penn State can be a little bit more creative, can do some different things, you know.
Yeah. Coach Franklin, they're going to mix it up. They're going to mix some things in. And I think we've said it before earlier in the week that this is a familiar matchup in the sense of Coach Franklin was at Vandy back in the day when Coach Bobo was the OC at Georgia. So this matchup is extremely familiar. They know each other pretty well. So Coach Franklin's going to do some things that he doesn't do that Bo Nix might not be ready for, that might catch those guys off guard. But I think just from watching the tape, bro, I think that Auburn looks really good. If they can protect for Bo Nix and give him time, I think that Coach Bobo and the staff's going to take some shots downfield and they're going to put some points on the board.
What do you think is the bigger advantage, Auburn having to, you know, kind of gotten to work on themselves really against two teams early on in the year that aren't their caliber match, or Penn State having already won you know, on the road, hostile environment in a Big Ten matchup over a top, then top 10 ranked team, Wisconsin, which, you know, they've got to play that, but they've had to put some stuff on film for Auburn to see what, you know, how does matchup wise and which one's a bigger advantage?
I talk about experience all the time, and I think definitely being able to play a top tier opponent early on gives you an advantage, especially if you come out with a dub and you play well. It gives you an advantage from a sense of that you've been in big moments before, because like to your point, it's a wideout. It's going to be a big game. Auburn hasn't been in a game like this year. It's still out on what kind of team they are, who they're going to be. But we'll see. We'll see Saturday night at 7:30.
Again, and we give our picks, our official picks on Lock In Friday. So make sure to tune in on Friday to get our picks on all these games. Make sure if you're watching on the YouTube channel right now, 365 Sports YouTube channel, do us a favor, hit that subscribe button, turn on notifications, throw a like in here if you like the content right now. That helps us out a lot. And, you know, TK, just before we move on from this game, do you, with what you see, you know, Bo Nix, Sean Clifford, Tank Bigsby, Noah Kane, very similar football teams. Do you like where the line is at +6, Auburn +6?
I'm gonna take it. I think.
You think it's an accurate line? Not a pick, but do you think that line is accurate where Vegas is? They're getting close to being right around the money.
Oh yeah, I think it's gonna be a really good game. When we played Vandy back in the day when Coach Franklin was there, those games were good. Somehow they were good. But these guys just have each other's number. So it'll be an interesting game. I won't be locked in. I'll be tuned in our game.
That's it. That's it. Georgia plays South Carolina. And we'll touch on that one next just real briefly because there's not much to talk about. Speaking of the exciting matchup of Auburn and Penn State, we're excited that our pod is partnering with PlayActionPools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport that we love the most, which is football. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. So here's how it works, guys. Sign up for our contest, the Believe Football Pick'em at PlayActionPools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select 10 of the high-profile games of the week between NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most right is going to get some prizes like a pair of electric sunglasses, a pair of DC shoes. Go to PlayActionPools.com. Sign up for the contest. Believe, that's BLEAV, football pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to PlayActionPools.com today. They've got Survivor pick'em as well as cool sportsbook style play called Build Your Own Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all your office sports pools. And TK, if they are in it, they'll want to tune in Friday, like I said, to get our picks so they know who to pick before all the action on Saturday. So we mentioned briefly a while ago the Georgia-South Carolina game. Not a cupcake, you can't say, because South Carolina is a SEC team, but they're definitely in rebuilding mode, and Vegas definitely acknowledges they're in rebuilding mode. Bet Online has South Carolina as a 31-point underdog coming to Sanford Stadium. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that South Carolina has been playing, even though it's a great story, and you and I both personally like Zeb Nolan a lot and what he's done. And you know, I saw him play several times in high school. He's a gritty competitor, but you know, going from GA to QB1 and playing Eastern Illinois and East Carolina is a lot different than playing that front seven of Georgia's.
Yeah. Again, it's gonna be awesome for him. It's gonna be a great story for him to come home and you know, play in Sanford Stadium.
It's also what's around him, right? I mean,
let's not just put everything on him. It has a lot to do with what's around him.
The dearth of talent.
You said it. They're in rebuilding mode. They're gonna have to get some recruits in there, and they're gonna have to do some recruiting. Shane Beamer's gonna have to, you know, pull some rabbits out of the hat.
Yeah. So, one guy that they're going to try to impress this week, speaking of recruiting, we are going to start touching on some recruiting here on the show. Oscar Delp is a tight end out of Cumming, Georgia, West Forsyth High School, that has South Carolina and Georgia really his top two schools. He will be in attendance at this game, so you know that Shane, he'll be visiting on an unofficial visit to Georgia. So, but he'll be seeing South Carolina. He's going to go on a visit to South Carolina later. So you'll see, you know, he's going to be looking to see what Georgia does with Brock Bowers and John Fitzpatrick there. And then, of course, he'll be looking to see how Shane Beamer utilizes his tight ends in that game as well. But 31-point favorite Georgia is, man, that's a 31 points is a lot to cover in any SEC matchup. So, but we'll see. We're going to give our official picks. I think everybody already knows TK's pick every week is Georgia Bulldogs. But you know, we'll tell
right
that
now, right now. Yeah, right yeah, now.
We'll tell on that lock-in Friday, the official pick there. But that 31 point. That's a big spread. I don't know. I'm gonna have to mull that one over a little bit.
That's a lot. That's one to circle.
That is one to circle for sure. Speaking of something to circle, Mississippi State can go back to week two of this year, and then go back to week one of last year, when they went into Baton Rouge and just killed LSU last year, and then they have a good win at home in Starkville at Davis Wade Stadium this past week against NC State. Proved both you and I wrong. That's one game that we really did get wrong, was we thought that Zach Arnett's defense would not be up for the challenge at NC State team. They hold them to 10 points and really do a good job of stifling a good quarterback and a good offensive unit in Devin Leary and that NC State Wolfpack team. But Mississippi State is now going to go on the road and face a Memphis ball club. And they're a 3-point favorite on the road. You know, Memphis in the AAC, they've had some good years. Mike Norvell, before he was at Florida State, was there and really had them, you know, competing to be in New Year's Six games and things like that. The program has had, you know, its ups and downs type years, TK, but, you know, we'll get in on, you know, analyzing the game a little further, but, you know, an SEC team going on the road to an ACC team, an AAC team, American Athletic Conference. Just what's your thoughts initially, right? Kind of where this Mississippi State team is right now under Mike Leach, and, you know, do they deserve to be a 3-point favorite on the road?
Yeah, I think they're definitely deserving of the 3 points, maybe even a little more than the three. I think Coach Leach got his guys ready to play. I think he got them ready to play defensively, and I think he's going to continue to do that. Can they score points? Hell yes, they can score points. Can they stop people? Yes, they can. We saw it last week. So if they can, you know, build off that confidence from week two and roll that into you know, obviously this week, which I think they'll do pretty easily, but on down the line, roll that into other weeks. I think that, you know, I think that this team, they can be somebody that kind of creeps up on people.
No doubt. And you're talking about a Memphis team that this is going to be a tight, you know, contest in terms of two offenses that really like to go at it. I don't know. You know, we got to see I know we apologized to Zach Arnett, and we said, you know, please forgive us, Mr. DC of Mississippi State, for doubting you, but they need to also do it back-to-back weeks, right? We need to see this, because they had a stifling performance against LSU earlier in the year, and then looked, as I said in a conversation with you about a certain individual before we started recording, they looked like hot garbage last year at certain points of time, that, you know, just letting people run up and all down the field. But speaking of defense, lack of defense, Memphis gave up 680 yards to Butch Jones's Arkansas State team last week. So you talk about the air raid going in there to Memphis. If Mississippi State does regress any on defensively, the way Memphis is throwing the ball, and the way that we know that Mike Leach likes to throw the ball, they won that game against NC State only rushing for 22 yards, TK. So you know that the ball is going to be slung over the yard in this game.
Air it out. Yeah, I like it. Hey.
We gotta start finding out what the over and unders on these games are, because you know, it's good that Mississippi State's a 3-point favorite, but if that game is, you know, lacking any defense at all, this could be you know, much like that Arkansas State game was, a 55-50 type, you know, shootout type game. Will Rogers could have a banner day, but I think that spread is pretty accurate right now, don't you? Going on the road to a team that's returning 16 starters in Memphis.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty accurate. I think they'll maybe a touchdown.
Yeah, but yeah. I think it could get boosted up a little bit. Yeah, I hear you. Touchdown game either way. Now, one of the more intriguing games, we saw that Alabama, right, is a 16.5-point favorite on the road at Florida. This should tell you where Vegas thinks the separation is between Alabama and LSU right now. They have LSU being only a 19.5-point favorite at home versus Central Michigan. Now, we've had a little history on this show with Central Michigan before. We picked in week one. We had the upset pick, you know, the Lee Corso, not so fast with Central Michigan going to Missouri. We thought they'd beat them outright. They did cover. We got that right. They were 13.5-point underdog at Missouri, and the Fighting Jim McElwains went in there and covered that spread, but they didn't take down. They only lost by 10. But Central Michigan, the way those guys can put up points and put up yards, and Jim McElwain being a very, very astute and schematically inclined offensive coach, LSU's defense, TK, if it doesn't look better than that UCLA game.
I was going to say, this could be another one to circle. Because Jim McElwain has obviously been in this league as
he was at Alabama. He's a head coach at Florida.
Yeah. He's had success in this league. He knows the ropes, and he has that team ready. They returned 22 starters, which is unheard of. So that's a game that I'm intrigued about for sure.
I think that 19.5, I don't agree with that spread. I think 19.5 is too much to give an LSU team right now that is just in utter disarray. They just announced that John Emery, talented running back, is academically ineligible for the year. I mean, it's just a total dumpster fire, it seems, right now over there in Baton Rouge in terms of the organization of things. You saw with the Bengals winning in week one why LSU won that national championship. It was Burrow to Carr down the sideline, baby, and that's what happened.
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, man. Jamar Chase. If Joe Burrow doesn't show up, you know, from Ohio State, Ed Orgeron probably gets fired way earlier, because they are not winning that national title without Joe Burrow. I mean, he truly, TK, you know, and we'll move on. I know this isn't a revisionist history time, but that season that Joe Burrow had, maybe the greatest single season any quarterback's had.
It was super impressive. And to your point, I mean, we talked about it early on. Coach OC might get a little hot. Let Jim McElwain and these boys come down here and get a dub. What? You talk about and fire.
You talk about
fire, but oh, man.
You talk about getting some Cajuns hot around the collar, man. You let them Chippewas come down there and lay the smack down on the Tigers, and it's going to get rough down there in Baton Rouge. And Lord help anybody who's down there, because I don't know if you've been to a game or been in that environment down there, TK. But
I played in that stadium.
No, I'm talking about outside the stadium.
Oh no!
I'm talking about walking.
We had a police escort.
Y'all, the police escort. It's going to get a little rowdy if things don't go exactly. Even if it's a close game. Yeah, there, as Larry Munson said in a positive thing for Georgia one time, there's going to be some property destroyed tonight, and that could definitely happen down in Baton Rouge if things don't go as according to plan and that defense doesn't look better, because it has just been awful for LSU. And I expect with the playmakers that Central Michigan has over there. So if they let Lou Nichols III, who's a very talented running back, he was that MAC freshman of the year last year, I believe, you know, through two games, 36 carries, 214 yards, and two tutties. If he gets going down in Baton Rouge, You know, it could be a long night. And I think that 19.5 points is way too much to give LSU. I just don't think they've garnered that faith right now. We're not saying right now whether we're going to pick the outright upset of Central Michigan over LSU or not. Again, tune in to Lock In Friday to get our picks. But right now we're saying that spread a little bit too high for our liking. Then we got two more games, TK. Lane Kiffin came out today and said that Tulane, watching them on film, they're basically like an SEC team. And Willie Fritz did a great job at Georgia Southern, right? And now he's come to Tulane, and he almost went on the road at Oklahoma and beat Oklahoma in week one. They got an onside kick late. They had a chance to go in and beat that team. Had Oklahoma, who many people are penciling in right now to the college football playoff, they had Spencer Rattler and them boys on the ropes. And now Willie Fritz is coming down to the Grove. Ole Miss, a 14-point favorite. But I don't think Lane Kiffin is sleeping on Willie Fritz and the Green Wave coming into town.
No, I don't think he's sleeping on him at all. But to your point, talk to my guy Orleans Darkwa from Tulane, and they are a awesome program. He's happy and excited about the job that their coach is doing with that program, and he's glad to see that program going in the direction it's going. And obviously everybody's taking notice, even Lane Kiffin taking notice. That's high praise, saying that, you know, that they're SEC caliber team. And to go in week one and have Oklahoma on the ropes, it's very impressive, but I don't think they get it done.
Remember, we're not picking now, TK. You're gonna mess up our model here. We're not picking. What do you think about that 14 points? You think that's warranted for Ole Miss to be two touchdown favorite at home?
Listen, bro, they ain't gonna get it done, and it's gonna be 21 points. It's going to be a three tuggy game.
So you think Mac?
I'm on the Lane train, bro. Again, I think that he has the style of football that he plays is he's trying to score points, and I think that he's got something special over there at QB Matt Corral. Yeah, Matt Corral's a special kid. I think that he proved to a lot of people that he was special and poised and ready to go. That Monday night in Atlanta.
Oh, no doubt. Matt Corral is you know, if they keep winning, Matt Corral could end up being a Heisman Trophy candidate. I mean, that's the kind of numbers he's going to put up. We all know that it's a numbers driven type game there when you talk about Matt Corral and Lane Kiffin and what they were able to do to Alabama last year. But in Tulane's own right, Michael Pratt had a tremendous game against Oklahoma in week one. They're only 0-1 on the year. He went 27-44, 296 yards and three touchdowns in Norman, Oklahoma. So, I mean, that's a great, great showing by Michael Pratt. So, you're going to see two good quarterbacks in this game. TK feels that spread may it be a little bit higher in Ole Miss's favor. I don't know. I think that one's pretty close, right about the money. And then we're going to end up with a team that
can
Can
we do a side bet then?
Yeah, side bet. We'll just DM off the show after a little while. You know, when we come right here to our final game that we're going to talk about, it's Vandy and Stanford. Now we've had our fun with Vandy. Lord knows you've had your fun surfing Twitter, looking through and seeing all these memes that people are putting out on Vandy. Poor Vandy is getting the raw end of the deal at times, but they did bounce back. The Commodores go from, you know, outhouse to penthouse, so to speak, and from week one to week two, they lose to East Tennessee State and then go on the road and take care of Colorado State, another program that has its own problems, admittedly, but that's still big for Clark Lee and Ken Seals and that bunch to be able to take care of business. But 11-point underdog at home with Stanford, who just got Clay Helton fired after beating USC this past weekend. What do you think about that 11-point underdog in Nashville for the Commodores?
For the state of where the program is, I think that spread's accurate. But you're right. I had to type in Vanderbilt football on Twitter, and people are giving them grief. But I typed it in for a different reason. I wanted to know what the heck was going on with the program. I've asked that a couple times on the show. And I mean, one, you got a new coach. It's tough when you have a new coach. It's always tough that he's trying to build a culture, his culture. He's got to get those kids to buy into his way. He's got to change everything from top to bottom, everybody's mentality. So that's tough in itself. And then I looked even deeper and I found out just weeks before the opener, you know, you demote your OC, your freaking quarterback coach is now you're calling plays. So dude, I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, no wonder, you know, you're scrambling around in week one. But I look at the players. You see Ken Seals is a guy that's, you know, played in this league, has won some games in this league, and has, you know, played in big games. You got Cam Johnson and Will Shepard. They got 6.5 catches a game. So, I mean, they've got guys that are doing things well, but I think a lot of what they're doing is shooting themselves in the foot, making mistakes. And you do that when you have a new coach. You do that when you have a new system. You do that when you have unfamiliar things in the program. And I think it's just going to take them getting on the track, getting on the same page with Clark Lea and him doing things his way. But again, to your point, they're back on track now, and maybe they'll stay that way. Maybe they won't. We'll see.
All I'm telling you is, you know, when you got a David Shaw coach team in Stanford, this is like the Brainiac Bowl, Stanford versus Vanderbilt. You know, there's some high GPAs in this game, man. There may be some GPAs that are getting close to people's 40 times up there. I mean, it's going to be right there with each other, you know. But in terms of David Shaw coming in there with that Stanford team, they're going to play two, three tight ends. They're going to get an I formation. They're going to try to bludgeon you to death with, you know, just ISO runs, off tackle runs, some gap scheme stuff, just really powering it up in there. And Vanderbilt's front seven is going to be challenged in this game. I think the spread could actually be maybe a little bit lower, not because I don't think that Stanford can go into, but I just think the way that Stanford plays, it's going to be more of death by a thousand cuts than it is explosive plays. And there may be a limited possessions in this game because of that, because, you know, Vanderbilt's going to try to help their defense out as much as they can and try to extend some drives and not go no huddle or anything like that as well. So, but guys, here on What's the Spread Wednesday, we just try to do our best to give you a snapshot of what these games are looking like, what we're thinking, you know, preliminarily about the matchups. And then you catch us on Lock In Friday, where we're going to lock in, go deep dive on these matchups and give you the reasons why we think the teams that we pick is going to win. And our picks last week, pretty good, TK, pretty good.
Yeah, we did our thing. We're going to do our thing this week.
Absolutely. So,
and I'm gonna win our side bet.
That's it. He's gonna win the side bet. I think what was our disagreement on? It was on Mississippi State.
Ole Miss and Tulane.
That's what we were disagreeing on. You like the Rebels a little bit more than I do in that one, in terms of being comfortable with that 14-point spread. So for Tavares King here, I am Blaine Gilmer. This is the Second to None podcast. Again, make sure to subscribe, like, hit notifications. Catch us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you catch it. We're part of the Believe Podcast Network, presented by BetOnline and PlayActionPools.com. And we will catch you Friday for a Lock-In Friday, where we make our picks on SEC Week 3 action. We'll catch you Friday morning.